Paul, do you know where mom and dad are? Do you know where mom and dad are? Will you go back there and get them? Thank you, buddy. Howdy. Good to see you. All right, we're looking at Paul in his this morning we talked about he was hindered, I think, by the deal that Jason made with the Jews, and he was hindered from coming back, and if he came back, they would lose everything. So there was a hindrance, and he said, Satan has hindered me. So it got me thinking, how does Satan hinder Christians today? I found a book that I really appreciate very much. How does Satan hinder Christians today? And he gave me 10 reasons, 10 ways that Satan hinders, and I'm just going to fly through them real quickly. Number one, the first reason or way that Satan hinders Christians is doubt. I believe this is the greatest hindrance of Satan. When he can get you to doubt, he can get you to quit serving the Lord. And when things start to go bad, that's when we begin to doubt, and doubt leads to more doubt, that leads to more doubt, that leads to more doubt, until finally it just creates a problem. I read this story about a soldier who was in the paratroopers. He didn't really want to be in the paratroopers, but he joined them anyway. And so they were training them how to jump and how to get out of the plane. I don't know, were there any paratroopers here? Okay. And what they do is they take him up at 800 feet. So he went over the deal with the guy and said, you pull the main chute. As soon as you go out, they only drop him at 800 feet. So they don't have that far to go. You pull the main chute. And he looked at his sergeant and said, well, what if the main chute doesn't open? He said, oh, in a million to one chances that doesn't happen, reach around to your right side with your right hand, and there's another ripcord. That's the backup chute. Pull that, and then it won't bring you down as softly, but it'll bring you down to earth. And then a station wagon will come, pick you up when you get on the ground, and take you back to the barracks. Well, he was so unsure, but to be a paratrooper, he had to do it. So they got up in the plane. He got out to the edge, and he was scared to death, and the sergeant pushed him out. So he did what he was trained to do. He reached down. As soon as he got out, he pulled the ripcord, and guess what? Nothing happened. He's on his way down, going down, and he remembered. He's going about 165 miles an hour downward. He remembered what the sergeant said. In case the main chute doesn't, then reach to the right. He reached the right, grabbed the cord, and pulled it. And guess what? Nothing happened. And as he's racing to the ground, he thought to himself, my main chute didn't open, my backup chute didn't open, and probably when I get to the ground, there's not going to be a station wagon waiting to take me back to the barracks. Well, I think that was the least of his problems. But that's what doubt can do. Doubt has weakened many Christians, especially when the doubt is in God's word. Doubt says God's word is not true, it doesn't work. God doesn't keep his promises. And I want to stop there just for a minute. God keeps all his promises, but they may not be fulfilled till we get to heaven one day. You know, we expect all the promises are in this lifetime, but they may not come in this lifetime. You know, you may not have everything you want in this lifetime, but you will when you get to heaven. All promises will be kept. And so, God doesn't know what he's doing. You know, one of the best illustrations of doubt in the Bible is when the children of Israel read and crossed over into the promised land. And the 10 brought back the evil report, the 2 brought back the good report. And they doubted Moses and Joshua and Caleb. And the Bible says they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Doubt is something that Satan tries to put into our minds to hinder us from being what God wants us to be. Second one is, it could be demonic harassment. And I'm not going to take long on that, but Paul knew what this was all about in his ministry. Satan can influence and even possess people to oppose you or hinder you for the service of Christ. So, you know, that's a small case scenario, but it's possible that Satan could indwell somebody to create problems for you and through Satan. So demonic harassment. Number three. The third way that he tries to cause doubt or hinder the Christians is danger from people. You know, danger from people. People can be your greatest adversary, but they can be your greatest alliance as well. Stephen and Paul were stoned by the enemies of the gospel, the Jews. The three Hebrew men were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not worship in the idol of a king. Satan may rise up people around you, connected with your life, to hinder you as well and create doubt in your service for Christ. And I'm talking somebody who's at work around unsaved people, and they just blast the gospel. They blast creation. They blast that you go to church. They blast that you tithe. They blast that you won't go to the bar. They make fun of you. They mock you. And that's a hindrance from Satan. And I've seen many, many, many a person quit going to church and give up in their Christian life because of the harassment from people, the danger from people. The fourth thing that Satan said is the delusion of sinful pleasures. The delusion of sinful pleasures. Satan used Samson's lust and an immoral woman named Delilah to rob him of his spiritual strength as well as his physical strength. You know, Samson's sexual sins led him to destruction. And it's because of his desire, his lust for immorality, he lost his eyes and then eventually lost his life. And he lost the power of God upon his life. And I thought it interesting, the last thing he asked, God, avenge me, avenge my eyes. And he killed more people in his death than he did in his life. But it should have never been like that. But the delusion of sinful pleasures. I think many people are deluded. They're in delusion today about lust. Oh, you know what? It's not that bad. You know, it's not that bad. You know, the world does it. It's in the world. But it's that delusion to sexual sins that led Samson to the destruction. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. That is what happens when lust grips a person. It binds him or her of the danger on his path and robs a person of common sense and creates doubt in their mind. I'm telling you what, somebody who's living and fallen into lustful sexual sins, I'm telling you what, there's a doubt that's created in their minds about Jesus Christ. It just happens. But we're falsely accept the lust that's happened today because it happens in the world. You know, if you want to know about sexual sins, go to the life of David. You know, he saw Bathsheba, he slept with her, it led to murder. You know the story, but the part I want you to see is violence never left his household after that. I mean, his children. You know, everything David did was affected by that decision to sleep with Bathsheba. Now, he could justify it all he wanted, that he was the king. He could justify it, the men are away on, nobody's going to know. But God knows. And it's the delusion of sexual pleasures that Satan creates in our minds and puts amongst Christians that create a hindrance to them being what God wants them to be. The fifth thing that the author said was debris. You know, if you think about explosions, storms, catastrophes, accidents have a way of leaving debris behind that litters and blocks the roads and paths. Satan uses the debris of anger, bitterness, hatred, betrayal, and tragedies to hinder us and create doubt within us. How many Christians have gotten out of church today because of their anger and bitterness? How many have stopped growing because they were hurt by another and could not get over the hurt? Boy, the debris Satan puts in our lives can keep us from being on the right path. And again, I think it happens more than you know, that the anger and the bitterness that's created in Christians' lives. I can't tell you. I can tell you two people right now I know that stopped coming to church because they got bitter. I'm not 100% sure they got bitter at, but they usually say this: well, that church is just filled with a bunch of hypocrites. Well, I'm not going to doubt that. We all do wrong at times. But that's an excuse. And that anger and that bitterness keeps them, and it hinders them from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Satan uses debris that he puts in our path. to keep us from serving him. Number six is decrees from those in high places. Satan tries to hinder Christians in the work of God through people in positions of authority, especially governmental authority. And I think you can relate to that a little bit. The direction that our government was going under Mr. Biden, it was getting scary for churches. The 87,000 IRS agents that he hired, they were going to go after churches. I'm telling you, that was in their game plan. They were going to take our tax exemption away. I promise you that. They were going to try to destroy, not say you couldn't go to church, but make it so impossible for churches to exist. It affected people. Even when how many churches completely shut down during COVID because the government told them to shut down. You know, again, we shut down for 3 weeks. I had no idea what COVID was. I had no idea what we were in for. But now looking back on it, and if we had to do it again, I wouldn't shut down for 1 week. Now, I wouldn't blame somebody if they didn't come. I wouldn't criticize you if you didn't come, but I'm not going to shut down ever again. But that's the kind of hindrance Satan uses. Decrees from those in high places or those in authority. You know, being duped by King Darius, we know that he was duped, and they passed that law that no one could pray to any god but him for 30 days. And those who were caught praying to him would be thrown into the den of lions. And even the king admitted, Darius said that was a stupid decree. Because when Daniel survived, what happened to the people who made that decree? They were thrown into the lion's den. He knew he was duped by them. But it was. But I'm so thankful. But that decree did not create doubt in Daniel's mind. And I believe that many things that happen by those in authority have created a lot of doubt in the Christian's mind. And it causes them at times to stop serving the Lord. Listen, the devil's alive and well. Matter of fact, he's probably stronger, not stronger, but he's out more today because I really truly believe he knows his time is short. And the Bible says in the last days, things are going to get rough. And I think you're going to see Satan attacking churches. I think you're going to see Satan attacking individuals. And these are some of the ways he does it: through doubt, through distress, through decrees from high places. Seven, probably the biggest one, is disappointment and discouragement. Those are two very effective weapons in Satan's arsenal. How many believers have quit and given up serving Christ because of a failure, a setback in their lives? The answer is many. Just mark it down. Your life is not going to be smooth and rosy all the time. You're going to face defeat and setbacks. Those you count upon may fail you or let you down. Goals you desire may not be fulfilled. But if you've been hindered by discouragement, the Bible says, encourage yourself in the Lord. And the greatest example I have to give you of that is, you'll know this story, I think most of you will. Remember, David was living with the Philistines, and I think it was Gath, I'm not sure, I can't remember the city. But he was living in the Philistine country to get away from Saul. And they went out to battle, and they were battling with the guy who was over their city, a Philistine. And while they were out battling, the enemy came in and burned the city and took all the women, the children, and all their possessions. And you can just imagine, David and his men came back from fighting with the Philistines and came back, and when they came back, they saw their city in a blaze. And when they got there, all their wives, all their children, all their possessions were gone. They began to weep uncontrollably. But not only did they weep uncontrollably, they got together and thought about stoning David. They were going to stone him. And David, this verse has meant so much to me. And David was greatly distressed because his own people were talking about stoning him. For the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. For every man, for his sons, and for his daughters. But here's what it said. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He turned to the Lord. Boy, that could have been a turning point in David's life right there. He could have just simply said, it's not worth it. I mean, did David do anything wrong? No. The men chose to follow David in his leadership. The men chose to do that. But they were so distraught that they talked about stoning him. And in my mind, I would think David would have been ready to quit and give up and say, it's just not worth it. But the Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. Some people wonder why bad things happen to good people. And that's a question maybe some of you've asked. You know, bad things happen to everybody, good people and bad people. Why? Because of sin in the world. You're not exempt from bad things happening because of sin in the world, folks. Satan knows that. You know? Now, God's still in control. Remember, he came to Job and said, yeah, you bless Job and give him all these things. And God said, you can take anything from Job, but the first time he said, you can't what? Touch him. And Job lost everything, but he said, blessed be the name of the Lord. Talk about everything. The Bible says he was one of the richest men of his time. He lost everything. His children, his family. The only thing he didn't lose was his wife, and she wasn't much of an encouragement. Satan come to the second time, and the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And he said, you can do anything you want to Job, you just can't kill him. So Satan has limitations from God. But Satan did a number on Job. Not only he took everything from him, but he made him health-wise one of the worst situations I've ever heard of. And yet, in the long run, Job didn't turn on God. He didn't listen to his friends and his wife. And God blessed him in the end of his life 10 times more than at the beginning of his life. Discouragement. You know, the greatest verse, one of the greatest verses of all the Bible, Paul wrote it, was Romans 8:28. For all things, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. You know, that could be translated, for we know that all things work for the best unto them that love God. No matter what happens in your life. But I think depression and disappointment and discouragement come into our lives. And it makes us want to not go to church. Makes us not want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes us so we don't want to read our Bible. I'm telling you, that's Satan trying to hinder you from the work of Christ. Now, number 8 is a little bit on the same, but depression and despair. Depression is like a wet blanket that smothers the life out of a person. It turns the view of a person into dark shadows that block out the light of hope and joy. Depression can take the sweetness of victory and happiness and turn it into sour and bitterness. Boy, it's a dangerous thing, depression. And you know what? We see it more and more today in our world. And not only amongst the middle-aged, but amongst children today. But I thought about, you know, they're being taught evolution, that there is no God. If there is no God, what hope do they have? Depression is a real thing, and I think Satan's using it to destroy young people and despair. You know, the greatest illustration I can give you, remember when Elijah went to Mount Carmel and had the battle with the prophets of Baal? And he made his altar, put the meat on it. And then he had them, and there was a drought that day, and he had them gather all the water they had and pour it upon that. You know, the prophets of Baal went all day with no water on theirs, trying to call fire down from their God. And guess what? Nothing happened. If you follow it, I think the whole prayer of Elijah was 17 words. And he didn't get close to the prayer, and God sent fire down. And it not only destroyed the sacrifice, it destroyed the altar, and it licked up all the water. What a great victory. Prophets of Baal were killed. He'd put Jezebel in her place, and Ahab. What great victory. But if you follow it, shortly thereafter, we find the great prophet seeking death because of depression. Sometimes after a great victory and accomplishment, we can be vulnerable to depression and defeat. Elijah was all alone, and his attitude was, Lord, well, I've had enough. I'm the only one left. Nobody else even cares. And God said, that's not even true. I have a remnant set aside. There's always a remnant that God has set aside. But he said, life's not worth it. I simply want to die. How strangely we can pray when we get depressed. You know, Elijah, one of the greatest prophets of all time, was so depressed that he wanted God to kill him and take him home. After that great victory, it can happen to each one of us. You know, I thought, I'm not going to take the time, but many of God's men have been depressed in the Bible. Jonah was depressed. Moses was depressed. Job was depressed for a little bit of time until God showed him about the worlds. David, from time to time, he was depressed. Jeremiah, when he was in the miry clay, the muck, and the worms were eating away at his body. You know, I like what Paul said. He said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, Paul, that's what Paul calls it. He had anything but light affliction, but that's what he called it. He said, my light affliction, I know it's but for a moment. And it worketh for me a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's how Paul dealt with depression. You won't find Paul being depressed. You know, he was stoned. Remember, he was stoned and threw out of the city, left for dead. When the disciples gathered around him, what did he do? He raised up, and where did he go? Went to the next city preaching. You know, he got forced out of Corinth. Where did he go? Thessalonica. He got forced out of the synagogue. Where did he go? To the next synagogue. He left Thessalonica for the sake of Jason and the people that were there. And you know where he went? He went to a synagogue. And that man never got depressed because he knew that everything he battled, it was Satan hindering him, but it was light affliction. And it had a far exceeding and eternal weight in glory. Number 9, I'm almost through. Satan hinders us by deception. For Satan is the master deceiver and liar. He's a father of lies. The Bible tells us he's the liar and a father of it. Satan could put people on your path that can lead you astray if you drop your guard. Saying sometimes if it's not another person that deceives you, it is you. You know, I'm teaching a message next time I teach. Haven't preached it here, but you know who the most important person you listen to is? Yourself. It's not the preacher. It's not the music. It's not YouTube and listen to preaching. Those are wonderful things if you do them. But the most important person you listen to, I truly believe, is yourself. You can deceive yourself if you're not careful. Many Christians have justified and rationalized their actions to the point where they truly believe there's nothing wrong with the way they are living. They have deceived themselves into how they talk and where they go and what they do. I wrote down, that's what sin does to a person. That's what Satan does to a person. He can deceive you. Deception. And then the last one is delay or procrastination. I want to stick with the D's. Procrastination is an effective weapon of Satan's arsenal. It is of great hindrance to moving forward and growing spiritually. I'll read next week. I'll do it next week. I'll get saved next week. I will go to church next week. The I'll live for God later syndrome will waste your life away. And when important matters need to be done today, they're put off at a later time. Sometimes the opportunity becomes lost. This is a funny illustration. It's not funny. It's sad, but I thought I would read it for you. because I doubt if many of you have heard this. Maybe some of you who do a lot of reading would have heard this. But in early 1875, Elisha Gray transmitted a few musical notes over a telegraph wire. 1875. He thought to himself, if I can send music, perhaps I can send the human voice. The New York Times got wind of that and reported on predictions of a talking telegraph, and the public began to grow eager for it. And just 1 year later, Elijah Gray believed he had the answer. He took some tin cans, like a voice chamber, connected by a wire in a liquid that could turn vibrations into signals, is what came to his mind. He believed that he had finally invented something that would literally revolutionize everyday life, and it would. But in his procrastination, he did not put his ID on paper for 2 more months. Then after 2 months, he made his final sketch, and he waited 4 more days before he went to the patent office. And on March 7th, 1876, when Elisha Gray arrived at the patent office, just 2 hours earlier, a school teacher had come through the door, the same door, with his own sketch, and had already applied for the pattern. It was patent number 174465, and it was given to a man that named Alexander Graham Bell. When the sketches were compared, the voice chambers, the wire, the liquid, they were almost identical. And the reason we know the name Alexander Graham Bell today and have never heard of the name of Elisha Gray is simply because one man seized the opportunity and the other waited until it was too late. Boy, I read that. And I said, that's some good stuff. Satan hinders us by delay. He can try to hinder you by deception. He'll hinder you by maybe depression and despair. He may hinder you by disappointment, discouragement, from decrees from high places, from government authorities, for the debris he leaves in your path, from the delusion of sinful practices, from the danger from people that you work with and spend time with. Maybe from demonic harassment, not always, but sometimes. Or simply, he causes doubt and places doubt in your mind. Listen, Satan is alive and well. And I'm telling you, he wants to hinder you. Now, not everything bad that happens to you comes from Satan. Because we're part of this world. We're part of a sinful world that's not getting any better. But there are some things that Satan does do that'll keep you from serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll keep you from being faithful to church, that'll keep you from giving to the Lord Jesus Christ, that'll keep you from handing out that gospel tract. I think the biggest thing that is what you say to yourself. You know, how many times have I said, well, they're not going to listen. This tract isn't going to do any good. Sometimes it's simply just what we say to ourselves. But Satan wants to hinder you. That's why each and every morning, I'm not perfect, I know that, but I put on the armor of God. This morning before I got out of bed, and I do not step out of my bed until I put on the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. I shed my feet with the gospel of peace, understanding the sovereignty of God. And most importantly, I take on the shield of faith to protect me from the fiery darts of the wicked one. Oh, God, keep me from that. I put on the helmet of salvation, know that this isn't the end game, that is. The sword of the Spirit, which is Word of God. Then I take and read my personal devotions. I read through the Bible with Dr. McGee at night. But every morning, that's my routine. Every morning I do that. Why? Because I'm in a battle every day with Satan. Satan doesn't want to destroy me any more than he wants to destroy you or hinder you. Don't let Satan hinder you. Paul said, I was hindered from coming unto you because of the tactics of Satan. Satan's alive and well, folks. Don't be hindered. in what God wants you to do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the truth from God's word. Satan is alive and well, but I keep coming back to the fact if we'll put on the armor of God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Oh, I respect Satan, but I don't fear him. But I do fear my God. One day Satan will spend an eternity in hell and be cast in the lake of fire. His day is coming. But for right now, he's alive and well. And he wants to discourage us. He wants to depress us. He wants to tempt us. Oh God, let us not be hindered by the work of Satan. Help us to have the right mindset. Help us to put on the armor of God daily as we're in a battle each and every day. So God, I pray that you'll use us in our battle and not to be hindered by the power of Satan. Apply these truths.